Amen. Good morning. It's good to see you. The final numbers on the MMO trip, they had 1,600 patients and about 80 plus people put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and became followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're certainly excited for that and thankful that we get to partner with organizations like Medical Missions Outreach and see God do a work in that way. If you would, this morning, open your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And just as you're turning there, let me remind you, we're taking the entire month and we're talking about generosity and we're talking about ways in which we can live open-handedly with the things that God has entrusted us with and to use them in a way that would honor God and would be for the good of others. And in a few weeks, we're going to hear from one of our missionary partners, Bridge of Faith. Jonathan and his wife will be here and they're going to share with us all the different things that they're doing down at Rockaway Beach, and we're excited for that, and just praying that they will be a blessing to you, and we also want you to see that your generosity makes an impact. I mean, we support Bradley and Medical Missions Outreach. We invest in that ministry every single month. Your giving goes towards that. Our giving towards our normal giving goes towards Bridge of Faith and all the different things and the ministry and the service that we do there. And we just want you to know that your giving, your generosity, it makes a difference. It advances the kingdom of God. And you're a part of something bigger, you're a part of something eternal, and you're a part of something significant when you give financially and when you give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. In fact, I can't even begin to tell you the ways in which we're seeing God work, because last week I had a college student come up to me after the services and said, "Hey, I need to meet with you this week, because I really feel like God is calling me to do something, and I don't know what that is, but can you help me?" Last week and today, we've had several guests, first-time guests, just walking into our services this morning, looking for a place to continue their spiritual journey on. I don't know about you, but that kind of gets me excited. Amen? Amen? Come on. Right? And so, God is obviously at work. And so I trust and pray that you see that. In a few weeks, on March 6th, we're going to have what's called our Generosity Sunday. And on that day, we're going to ask you to do one or a couple of things. One of the things that we're going to do is we're going to ask you to fill out a commitment card. And on that card, we're going to ask you, it's going to be very simple. We're going to ask you to commit to one of two different things. One is, we're going to ask you to, if you've never given, like on the regular, as a way of life, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we're going to ask you to begin a 90-day giving challenge. We're going to ask you to take that step of faith and trust God, because we believe that 90% in God is better than 100% without God. Amen? And we want to see God at work in that way. The other thing that we're going to ask you to do is that some of you, God has really blessed you in the last year or so. And really, we believe that tithing, giving a dime on every dollar, 10% of your income, is really, it's just a baseline. And so it's the starting point. And what we mean by that is the Bible talks about tithes and offerings, and so we want to encourage you to give above and beyond just the baseline. And so we're going to ask you to increase by way of percentage. And the last thing we're all going to do on that day, whether you're a regular giver or whatever, we're going to ask everyone to tithe on March 6th. We're going to have what's called an all-tithe Sunday. And the reason I'm doing that is because the reason that we're going to ask you to do that is because of this. Do you realize that 24% of people that attend church regularly, only 24% that attend actually give 10% of their income back to God? Now, so that means, like, if we're a church of 300, right, that means 75 people actually give 10% of their income back to God. That means 25%, 75 people are actually being obedient to what the Bible teaches us in terms of generosity. And we are and this is a good place for an amen, we're a very blessed church, amen? I mean, God has been good. We paid off our note. We raised additional money for missions this year. But if that statistic holds true, and I think it does, could you imagine what we could do if every single person in this church did not give equally, but just obeyed God in this area of their lives? Amen? Could you imagine what could occur and what could happen in terms of us advancing the kingdom here and around the world? Now, I've made it a principle in my life and in the ministry not to be a church that coerces people to give to ministry and to God. In fact, you don't give to the church. We're not asking you to give to Southgate. What we're doing is we're asking you to give to God through the church. We're asking you just to be obedient to the scriptures. And with that being said, I'd hope that we might be a people that are characterized by radical generosity. Now, sadly, for many of us, we've become comfortable with the lack of generosity in our lives, and that's not a good thing. In fact, do you realize that there are over 500 verses in the Bible concerning prayer? 500 verses in the Bible, the entire Bible, 500 on the topic of prayer. And there's nearly another 500 verses in the Bible concerning our faith, growing in our faith and trusting God. But there's more than 2,000 verses in the Bible on the subject of our money and on our possessions. 2,000 verses. Jesus talked about money 16 in 38 of his parables. And so from the Bible's perspective, clearly, we need to understand that what money is and how we handle it according to the Word of God, because money's actually a test from God. It's a sign of maturity as disciples of Jesus Christ. And so the big idea that we want to look at today, the thing that we want to kind of drill into and focus on today is this thought: sacrificial giving flows from a heart in love with Jesus. Sacrificial giving flows from a heart that's in love with Jesus. Now, in preparing for this message, I tried to think about all the times that I've sacrificed. You know, when were some times in my life where I gave up something in order for someone else to have something? And I thought about, you know, the times that I sacrificed, maybe for God or maybe for those I love. And there have been times where I've sacrificed, where I gave up something I wanted so that someone else could have what they wanted or what they needed. But the sad reality is even in looking at my own life, I realized that I've probably not sacrificed as greatly as I thought, and I certainly haven't sacrificed as much as what I thought. In fact, I think it's easy sometimes, even with those that we love, if sacrificial giving flows from a heart that loves Jesus, isn't it sometimes easy to get comfortable with the people that you love? And furthermore, and I talked about this on Wednesday night in my class, isn't it sometimes easy for us to forget where we came from? Sometimes we forget that we were once lost. Sometimes we forget that there was a time in our life that we were far from God, that we were desperate in our sins, and we needed to be saved, and we needed to follow Jesus. And so we forget that, and we get comfortable in our spiritual journey. So a sacrifice is a gift. It's something that we give that we actually will miss when we give it away. See, I can have, you know, we talked about French fries last week, and I already heard the Mays said that I need to learn, and they weren't even here last week, and they were telling April about the message, and they're like, Jason needs to share his fries, right? And I'm like, no, I don't. I just need to buy you your own fries, right? I don't need to share my drink. And I went out to eat lunch with the staff last Sunday, and I ordered my drink. I got the right drink to ice ratio. It was a good day, right? And I didn't have to share any of it, right? But here's the reality. I can have, you know, two or three cheeseburgers and give one away, and it's not a big deal because I still got one or two more to eat, right? That's not a sacrifice. That's giving out of my abundance. That's giving something away that I'm not going to miss because I got more for myself. What we're talking about today is sacrificial giving. And I don't know about you, but I love my comfort, you know? I love having things my way. I like having them right away. I love my comfort. And sacrificing sounds pretty uncomfortable, if not scary. It could mean for you, it could mean for me or any one of us, giving up something we love or something that we want. And the Scripture teaches us that we can give up something we love or something we think we need, and we can do that simply because we love Jesus so much. Are you guys with me today? Say amen. And this is not only an act of obedience, it's a moment of worship, and it's a moment of adoration to Jesus Christ. In John chapter 12, the Bible says 6 days before the Passover. This is on the eve of the death of Jesus Christ. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And so they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one reclining with him at the table. Now listen, just a few days ago, Lazarus had been lying dead in a grave for 4 days. And Jesus said, Lazarus, get up. I'm not done with you yet. And Lazarus comes back to life, and now he's kicking it with Jesus at the dinner table, right? And they're just hanging out. So they gave a dinner for him there. And Lazarus was there. The Bible says Mary, Lazarus' sister, therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, in verse 6 through 13, the Bible teaches us that the woman came to him with an alabaster flask. It'd be something very much like this. My wife and I, when we were in Israel several years ago, I was going to be preaching on this passage in just a few weeks after we got back from being in Israel. And so we found this alabaster vase or this type of flask. And it's made with pure alabaster. I mean, there's nothing else in it. And it would have been something like this that Mary took to that dinner. And she got up real close to Jesus. And she took this vase and she began to anoint the head of Jesus. And she began to pour this expensive perfume and this expensive oil and this expensive gift over the very head of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 4, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment? You could just imagine his self-righteousness. Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii, right? And given to the poor. It just sounds so righteous that he would say that. The Bible goes on to say, he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. And that's what greedy people do. They hide behind their self-righteousness. They hide behind their greed. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Could you imagine that? Just leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, this passage is it's uncomfortable. I'm just going to be straight up with you. But it lays out some truth that will challenge your faith directly and inescapably. It's going to challenge you this morning. And we must grow where we act in faith, love, worship, and purpose. Mary is one who is willing to live open-handedly. She was the sister of Lazarus and Martha. And her story is a picture of what I would call worshipful generosity. And it began with a moment of sacrifice. We see that in our text this morning. It begins with sacrifice, and that's sacrifice is a generosity that is characterized by giving her best. It's a generosity characterized by giving your very best. The oil cost, the Bible says, 300 denarii. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but for Mary, that meant about a year's worth of wages. 300 denarii would have been, she could have sold the oil. She could have sold the alabaster flax for a year's where she could have lived off of it for an entire year. She even broke the expensive vase that was made of alabaster. In today's economy, she dropped down basically $60,000 to $100,000 in wages. Could you imagine, just for a moment, just let that sit in our hearts for a minute. Could you imagine giving up a year's worth of wages and saying, Jesus, this is yours. I'm giving this to you, and I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust you with my livelihood. That's exactly what this woman did. What she did was extravagant. In the eyes of her peers, probably a little too much. Well, man, I can't believe she did that. What is she thinking? She must have dementia, right? There was a lady in my church back home. Her name was Opal Lemons. I've shared with you before about her. She's in heaven today. She was about 90 years old. And that old lady, she loved me. Every once in a while, she'd come up to me and shake my hand and put a $100 bill in my hand. She goes, won't you go buy a suit? Won't you go buy a shirt and tie? And she would. She'd always just, I mean, I wore shirt and ties back then, you know. Daniel Romine's in the back. He voted yes when I got, you know, voted in at the church. He goes, I can't believe you're not wearing a suit. Wrote that in on the card, you know. I was wondering, you know, who that was. Been praying for that person, and he confessed it, right? But she'd hand me a $100 bill. She'd go, well, go buy your suit. And then the next week, she'd come up to me, and she'd drop me another $100, and she'd say, go get April a dress and some shoes. And, I mean, she was old. And so she was kind of at that stage where she'd forget things. And her grandson was one of my really good friends, Jimmy Paul. And Jimmy and I were talking about this one day. I said, hey, Jimmy, your grandma just keeps walking up and giving me $100 bills. And he goes, yeah, I know, man. My mom and my aunts are kind of stressing about it because she's going to the bank all the time and she's getting money out of the bank and she's just giving it away. And they're kind of worried that she's just, you know, not being wise with her money. And I told them, leave her alone, right? Leave her alone. Listen. She just wants to be generous with the few days that she has left. And you know what she was? Everyone around her thought she was being radical. Everyone around her thought she was being crazy. And all she was doing was just being generous. She was just loving on those around her. For Mary, this is exactly probably what was going on. You know, there's many blessings that go along with generosity, but it's the principle of putting God first and the principle of faith that initiate the blessing. You don't get the blessing until you step out and give it. You don't get the blessing until you step out in faith and trust God with it. And that's exactly what we see happening in this text. You see, when you make Jesus a priority, those around you will think you're foolish. They'll think you're radical. They'll fail to understand because sacrificial giving is marked by those who desire to give Jesus their very best, trusting him to provide for their future. She gave her most valuable possession, demonstrating her faith. Her sacrificial gift characterized the incredible trust that she had in Jesus. I love what Randy Alcorn says. He says, we trade possessions. We trade possessions we cannot keep to gain possessions we cannot lose, right? We give up stuff that we're not going to keep them. I remember as a young person always hearing the pastor say, well, you know, I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. How many of you ever heard that before, right? Because, you know, you can't take it with you is what they say. And I kid you not, man, I was driving down the road one day and I saw a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. And I thought, you know what? That's some crazy stuff, man. Someone said, whoever dies with the most toys wins, right? Have you ever seen that bumper sticker? What do you win, right? Biggest nerd? I don't know. But here's the thing. This is exactly what this woman did. She gave up something temporal for something eternal. She gained far more than what she gave away. The crowd saw it as a waste. They saw it as foolishness. And anytime you give to Jesus, listen to this. When you give to God, when you give to Jesus, never a waste. Amen? It's never a waste. Your generosity is faith, not foolishness. It's putting your hope in the eternal, not the temporal or the fleeting. When Jesus is a priority, it's not a sacrifice to live generously. It's not a sacrifice to live open-handedly. It's just the mark of putting your faith in him. It's just being spiritually mature. It isn't a sacrifice, and let me just clear this up anyways. We talked about this last week. It's not really a sacrifice to give up what doesn't belong to you in the first place, right? In fact, it's just obedience. So Mary's radical generosity, her sacrificial giving was characterized first and foremost by sacrifice, but secondly by worship. That's generosity that's characterized by love and adoration. The John chapter 12, verse 3, John adds that she anointed and wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair. Now, you want to talk about uncomfortable PDA. That's probably it, right? Here's this woman who anoints the head of Christ. She's weeping and she's crying and she's trying to articulate and verbalize and appreciate who this person was. She is trying to acknowledge and recognize the Son of the living God. And so here she is, humbled, gathered up close to the very feet of Jesus, taking her own hair and wiping and washing and cleaning his feet in a moment of pure love, appreciation, and adoration. Here was a woman that was willing to openly show her love to Jesus. She believed. She adored. She loved. She worshiped. Mary wanted everyone to know that she was not only a follower of Jesus, she was a worshiper of Jesus. See, Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. there your heart will be also. The truth is this. Please write this down today because it's not in your notes, but please note this. Giving is a heart issue, not a money issue. Giving's a heart issue, not a money issue. What we do with our possessions is a sure indicator of what's in our hearts and what we love, what we adore, and what we pursue. And Jesus said as much in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus wants our hearts, listen to this, like Mary. Jesus wants your heart. He wants all of our hearts this morning. And the reality is, often the way to our heart is through our wallet. It's through our wallet. Sometimes it's good to give just because we love Jesus, not because we have a promise that he'll bless us in return. Here's Mary weeping and wiping at the feet of Jesus, so compelled to show her love that she gave in a way that would make most of us in this room incredibly nervous. It's not hard to tell what you love. I mentioned this last week. All you have to do is look at your checking account. Look at where your money goes, and you'll know what matters. Billy Graham said this years ago. Billy Graham says a checkbook is a theological document. A checkbook is a theological document because it will tell you who and what you worship. All you got to do is open it up. You see where you spend your money, where your stuff goes to. Then you'll know what's most important to you. What do you love? What do you worship? What do you adore? What are you pursuing? Some might say, man, she gave what was likely her most valuable possession, and she worshiped Jesus in the most enduring way. Love compelled her and compelled her worship and her generosity. So you might ask the question, man, well, how much is enough? I mean, how do I know that I'm giving enough? Have you ever had that thought before? Listen, there's only one thing that you can possibly give to God that would constitute an extravagant gift. One thing that you could give that would constitute an extravagant gift to God. You know what that is? It's your heart. Listen, this entire series isn't about us raising money. It's not about us getting more money for the church. Like, God doesn't need your money. You know? And I would say to some degree, Southgate doesn't need your money. Because God's going to provide for us to do what he is calling us and leading us to do. The reason I teach on generosity every year in the month of February is not so that we can see our giving go up. We teach on generosity because we want to see your heart committed to Jesus. We want to see you fall in love with Jesus. We want to see you trust Jesus. We want to see you take steps of faith and growth and find that God is faithful. Amen? That's the goal. You see, here's the reality. You can offer up all you are and all you'll ever be. And that's exactly what Mary was doing here. You know the oil? It was a symbol. It was a token that represented all of her heart. All of it. She's saying, Jesus, this is all I have. And all I have, it is yours. And I wonder this morning if we would be able to make that kind of sacrifice. Would we surrender and yield our heart to Jesus this morning? So I ask you this morning, is your heart the Lord's? See, your money is a symbol of what you have. It represents you. But is your heart the Lord's? Does he have say over everything in your life? Now think about it. I look at a ton of young people in here today. A lot of high school students, a lot of college students in here this morning. Is everything that you have the Lord's? Think about your plans. Where you're going to go to school. Who you're going to marry. Where you're going to work. Where you're going to live. All of those questions are circling in your minds. But do they belong to the Lord? Your plans. Your possessions. How about parents this morning? Your children. I'll be the first to admit, I struggle with this. I want my kids to do what I want because I think it's the right thing. Can I get a witness? Amen? But I am not God. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are times where I want God's best for my children. But the thought of sending one of my kids to the mission field freaks me out. But you know what? the safest place for my kid to be in all the world is in the will of God. And if that means that she goes to the backside of some desert country in Africa and she gives her life to Jesus and I never see her again this side of eternity, she is more safe there than she would living in my backyard bringing my grandkids over. Amen? And that's a hard thing to say. Your plans, your possessions, your kids, your time, your money. Would you be willing to say to God this morning, all I have, all that I have, and all that I am, it's yours. I give it to you. See, worship is much more than the music we sing. It's the life we live. It's the love and the adoration that we express when we offer our life and our resources back to the one who saves us from our sin, to the one who sets us free. See, generosity that's characterized by adoration and worship, this is a generosity that's not coerced. No, it's a generosity that's compelled by a love for Jesus. And so would your current level of generosity prove to be an outpouring of love and adoration for Jesus in response to paying for your sins on the cross of Calvary? So Mary's gift was characterized by sacrifice. It was characterized by worship and love and adoration. But then lastly this morning, it's characterized by perspective. By perspective. Look at the text today. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was. Look at this, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Have you ever imagined, when reading this particular passage, if you've been in church for any amount of time, have you ever thought, why did Mary give that up? Why did she give up a year's worth of wages? Why did she give to Jesus so extravagantly and so generously? To go back to John chapter 11, you see Jesus raised Mary, Martha's brother, from the dead. And in John 12, we see her giving up her most valuable possession to Jesus in this moment. Now, here's the thing. Is it possible that the events of John 11 gave her new perspective? I mean, think about that for a minute. Everything that mattered to her up to John chapter 11 got turned upside down because her brother was dead. Now her brother's in a grave. Jesus rolls up onto the scene and says, Lazarus, come forth. And now he's alive again. And now she realizes that she's in the presence of the Son of the living God, the one who holds life and death in his hand, and that one day there's going to be another resurrection, and it's going to be the resurrection of Christ, and then there's going to be the resurrection of the saints. And she knows, man, this thing's legit. He is the Son of the living God. He's the one that we've been waiting for. He's the Messiah. He's going to pay for our sins, and he's going to redeem us and rescue us, and he's going to go to heaven and one day come back for us and take us with him. So everything that mattered to me up to this point in my life, it's kind of trivial. It's kind of frivolous, because the only thing that matters is Jesus is here, and he's the one that's going to make all things new. He's going to reconcile this life and this world. You mean, could burying her brother, having him lie in a grave for 4 days, and then suddenly seeing him restored to life at the word of Jesus change her values and her priorities? Could she possibly have gotten a new perspective? Maybe her possessions didn't seem as precious anymore. Mary knew Jesus was a greater treasure, and that he could transform the worst of situations. Amen? He could change the worst of situations. See, getting a glimpse of what Jesus can do for the people we love has a way of changing our perspective. And perhaps this morning, your perspective needs to change. After all, if you know Jesus, you've been raised from the dead yourself. Amen? See, God has a purpose for every gift. Our generosity impacts the lives of others. I'm looking around this room, and there are folks that are sitting in this room today that have put their faith and trust in Christ in the last 12 months. Some that have been baptized. Others, God's calling into ministry. Others, God is putting back their marriages. On and on and on and on we could go this morning about how God is healing and restoring and rescuing and transforming and making all things new. And all that's made possible by the generosity of God's people. I think Mary understood this. And even if she didn't, she worshipped in a way that those around her understood that Jesus changes everything. He changes everything. She understood. No matter how bad the situation is, no matter how desperate, no matter how dire, when Jesus shows up, things change. Things get better. Things get new. Things get transformed. She knew that. You see, when we understand what Jesus gave up to save us, we willingly and we joyfully give up possessions to bless and reach others with the gospel. The reward we receive is not always in the blessing we get back, but in the lives that are transformed. You know, I heard that as a kid. Oh, if you give to God, He's going to give back even more than what you gave. Listen, that's not what this is about. The reality is that we give so that others' lives can be touched in the same way that our lives were touched by the gospel. Can I get an amen today? Are you guys with me? I mean, that's what we sign up for. That's what we live for. That's what the purpose is. And so the reward is seeing lives touched. Faithful generosity is rewarded every time someone's life is transformed by your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not hard to look around the church and see what God's doing. You realize last week we had more people in church last week, and I don't know what the attendance is today. We had more people last week in church than we had up until Easter last year, right? Amen? Right? I mean, and that's February. And nobody goes to church in February here, especially in Springfield, because it's too cold, you know? And then you layer that with a little bit of COVID and Omicron and, you know, all that. And I think it might have been sprinkling last week and, you know, all that stuff. God's at work. God is doing something magnificent. I don't know about you, but I want to hitch my trailer to that. You recognize that lives are being touched through the generosity of God's people. And here's the thing, man. I would like to think you'd want in on that. I mean, we just paid off the note here at Southgate, but I remember in Chicago when we built our building, one of the things that I had our church people do is go to the altar before we carpeted it, put flooring in. We would go into that nursery. We wrote down the names of our kids that we wanted to see come to Christ. We wrote down the names of people on the altar that we wanted to see come and be followers of Jesus Christ. And I know, like you guys here at Southgate, we did the same thing in Chicago where we sacrificed. We gave up a part of our life because we loved God, we loved Jesus, and we knew that we were called to plant a church and we were called to advance the Great Commission. And so we gave of our time, we gave of our resources so that people could come to know Jesus. And I can tell you there was a lot of names that were scratched off that altar and a lot of names that were scratched off the walls of that nursery and the kids' ministry. We had kids walking in there, signing the names of their friends at school and high school students, writing down names of young people that they wanted to see come to know Jesus Christ. And that's the funny thing about building programs. Once you build the building, for most churches, the vision's over. Because then we get comfortable, and then we get safe, and we think, oh, I don't have to give as much anymore. I don't have to sacrifice. We've kind of made it. Well, the weird thing about being a part of the kingdom of God is you never actually make it until He takes you home. And home isn't where you live. Home is eternity. And we got to be really careful as a church not to get comfortable. Because there is a world around us that is in desperate need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our generosity, financial and otherwise, makes it possible for people here in Springfield and people in the parts of the world where the name of Christ has never been spoken need Jesus. And we, you and I, we get to be a part of that. Mary didn't expect anything in return. But the blessing she received was far greater than what she imagined. In her generosity, she became a part of something eternal. She became a part of something really significant. And so I ask you this morning, do you need to realign your perspective? One of the most important shifts that you can make as a disciple is to see life through the lens of eternity, to see it through the lens of the kingdom. You see, I want to see God challenge and transform our hearts. I'm the pastor of this church, and I can tell you right now, and I'm just all cards on the table, there's some areas of my life in terms of generosity where I've gotten comfortable. And I'm getting wrecked over these passages because I realize I'm not as generous as what I thought. I'm not living as sacrificially as I thought. I remember when we planted our church, I was living on $28,000, $30,000 a year. And we had just finished our building, and we were coming up short. We needed to buy a piano. We needed to buy some other things, and we couldn't barely furnish the place. We were just glad to be in our own space. And I went to the church. I mean, we raised like $400,000, and I went to the church. I said, guys, we need a little bit more. We're just short of this, and we need another $20,000, $30,000 to get this thing done, to get our FFE and our furniture, fixtures, and equipment done. Can you give to this? And we had a little Dave Ramsey fund, a little $1,000 sitting there in the account. And I looked at my wife and said, I can't ask these folks to give if we're not willing to do this. And I remember I emptied that account and we gave the money to the church. That was all we had. It was $1,000 a time just to give. And we had already committed to giving weekly to the building program. And then I wanted to get blinds for the church. And I had someone griping at me about it. So I just went out and bought blinds by myself. I said, you know what? If they don't like the blinds, I'm going to buy them myself. You know? But back then, I wasn't making as much. Seeing God show up and provide was one of the greatest blessings that I could ever experience as a follower of Jesus Christ. But there comes a point where we reach a certain level of financial security where we stop trusting God and we get real comfortable. And I just wonder if God doesn't want to stir our hearts to live in such a generous way that it makes others around us a little uncomfortable. That it really shows the love and the adoration that we have for Jesus Christ. And if you're a young person, begin asking God this morning, what does this look like for me? What does it look like? Should I go in the ministry? Should I go serve in one of our sin cities and be a part of a church plant? Should I go overseas with IMB? It's going to be asking hard questions like, where am I going to go to college and who am I going to marry and what path am I going to get on? Young people, I really think we need to look at our lives and our hearts and measure success by the word of God and not by the culture that we live in. Young people, I want to encourage you this morning, give your heart to Jesus. Give it to Jesus right here, right now, today. Put your yes on the table and say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm in. I'm in. I'm going to do it. For those of us who are a little bit older, maybe starting a family, I get that's tough. A lot of expenses. I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest days of my life is when I stopped buying diapers. You want to talk about throwing money in the toilet? $80 a month, man. It's expensive to have kids. And I just want to tell all the younger parents in here today that got little ones, it just gets more expensive. I thought, man, two wonderful milestones as a parent was the day we stopped diapers and when they could buckle themselves in the car. I mean, it was like a gift from God. You know, I get it, man. Raising kids, it's hard. It's hard. It's tight. But I see God blessing my kids today. I don't know what my kids are going to do 5-10 years from now. They might end up in jail or rehab. I don't know, man. They look crazy sometimes. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I love the path they're on. I love that they're learning to live generously. I'm loving that they're learning to live open-handedly. And I know it gets tight as a parent sometimes, but I'm going to tell you, when you trust God with all of your life, your heart, your plans, your purpose, your kids, and your money, there's a blessing that you can't put a dollar amount on because you've been faithful to God and He's going to be faithful to you. So I want to encourage you, because this culture holds up a view of success. God says, I want you to live for something greater, something more fulfilling, something more satisfying than what this world offers. So let's learn to trust God and love Him with all of our hearts. Let's bow our heads this morning, if you would. How many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I understand that I'm a follower of Christ. I know that I've been forgiven of my sins. I know that I'm right with God, and I know that if I were to slip out into eternity today, that heaven is my home. Would you lift your hand and just let me see that as a way of testimony today? Amen. Now, how many of you would say to me today, Pastor, I'm not certain that I know Christ is my Savior. I don't know that I'm a follower of Jesus. I don't know that I'm right with God. I don't know that I'm forgiven of my sins. I don't know that if I were to slip out into eternity today, heaven's my home. Would you lift your hand and let me see those today? Anyone like that at all? Anyone at all? Amen. Amen. Now, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, if I'm being honest, I struggle with this area of generosity. And specifically, I struggle with really just giving Jesus all of my heart. How many of you just admit that today and just own that? Man, I really struggle just to give and surrender all of it to Jesus today. Amen, 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 amen. Lift it up. Keep them up. How many of you would say to me this morning, I need to take some steps to be more generous, and I need to yield and I need to surrender my life to Him today? Would you lift your hand and let me pray with you and over you on that this morning? Amen. I love all these hands, and especially the young people that are being open and honest before God. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, would you stand to your feet today? Father in heaven, we thank you again for Jesus. And God, I pray this morning, I know, man, this is a struggle. To think about really giving up something that we would miss, sacrificing, trusting you with all of our life, with all of our heart, it seems so absurd and scary. And I know, Lord, there's some folks in this room, Lord, there are folks in this room that are fighting that. Lord, I can even sense the resistance in the room. Man, what does this mean if I give this up? What does this mean if I sacrifice this? What does this mean if I yield this? Because we love our comfort. We love being in control. God, this morning, I pray that we might right here, right now, today, collectively as a church, give it all to you. Surrender it. Yield it and watch you work. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.